If you know a child who's struggling in school, stay tuned. You'll find tonight's show very informative. Good evening, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm your host for another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC. Creative Learning Concepts serves as an adjunct to the school systems, offering resources and assistance to students who fall behind academically, socially, or behaviorally. Each show, we talk about how we can help children achieve their full potential through testing, tutoring, counseling, behavior analysis and modification, and assistance with special needs. They work on a one-on-one, highly customized environment, which helps build confidence and self-esteem, with the goal of keeping children engaged in their social and academic world. We're here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. Stay tuned. We'll be back on News Talk 760 WJR. If you know a child who's struggling in school, you're going to find tonight's show very informative. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, obviously, there are a lot of parents out there. We talk a lot about what you do with the children, how you treat them, what sorts of things you do here with testing and with your one-on-one helping each student with a customized program to help whatever it is they're ailing with. Talk to us a little bit about what types of questions do parents ask you and what types of questions should they be asking you when they first call or come in?
Anne-Marie, one of the most important questions, or should I say the most common questions that parents ask me is about behavior and ADHD, even more so than their child not performing equally with their peers or as close or close to their peers. What a parent should know, and they ask me, oh, my child is hyperactive. And, well, what's hyperactive? You know, right. What's normal? And I hate that word normal. But what's normal for a child activity-wise, you know? Just because your child is more active than the kids he or she hangs out with, it doesn't mean they have ADHD. They have to have, there is a list of behaviors that needs to be pervasive, meaning ongoing for at least 6 months in a multitude of settings in order for your child to even be considered as having ADHD or any of the subtypes of ADHD. So you may just have a perfectly normal, active child instead of someone who is overactive. So they have to be, there's a really fine line between what's active and spirited. I like the word spirited, or what's overactive or ADHD, so to speak. So that's one of the most common questions that I'm asked. And then the panic sets in after a couple of weeks have gone by of the new school year, and parents say, oh, I don't know what's going on. My child's coming home crying, and what should I do? Well, number one, there's the adjustment period of a new school year. You know, their schedule's been different. They've been at summer recess, and their schedules are different. Their sleep schedules are different, and they have to get back into the swing of going back to school and the schedule and that goes along with that. So just, you know, keep as calm as you can for the first couple weeks of adjustment, and then ask me to see your child, because it could be adjustment. It could be that your child's not performing at grade level. It could be a myriad of things, but that's another common question to ask. I'm trying to think of a third one. You know, sometimes I get bullying questions, and yeah. Mm-hmm. And that too, you know, kids are really high strung the first couple weeks of school, but there's a whole set of, and we have our second therapy dog running around here, I see. Little Pino. Hi, Pino. Pino's wonderful, as is Lily, to help calm our kids the first couple weeks of school. But, excuse me, frog in my throat. But I just want to assure parents that there is a period of time at which you shouldn't panic. Just keep calm and make sure your kids are well adjusted and they have a reasonable sleeping hour where they go to sleep and their diet is nutritious and they aren't overdoing it with their after school activities, especially not the first few weeks of school. So.
I also think sometimes the parents have kids that when a new term starts or a new year or a new school, kids sometimes don't want to go.
Oh, absolutely.
They have a school phobia, or they want to get sent home because they've got a sore stomach and there's this resistance.
Right.
Do you get that as a question?
Oh, absolutely. Kids who struggled, let's say, in math or in reading, and they did go to summer school. Sometimes, you know, it's a simple matter of confidence. And they're afraid that the same thing's going to happen or they're not going to be good enough in whatever they struggled with last year. So, yeah, school phobia often does set in.
And what's the answer to that, the school phobia? I mean, how do you get them past that?
Well, lots of encouragement from the parents. It all starts at home. You know,
right.
And finding them, you know, reading well. I like the way you're reading today, honey. Keep up the good work. Things like that. Praise them as much as you can, and that'll help.
Like positive reinforcement,
right.
You're saying, and
getting
right. them. And so
right.
school phobia is something. When should a parent be concerned? How long would the kid be resistant before the parent starts to be worried about it and takes them in for?
Well, more than the adjustment period, you know, 2-3 weeks. If it doesn't subside at all, then that's cause for concern.
And sometimes you're getting calls. Parents are getting calls from the school because the kid's feigning a headache or a stomach ache, and parents wind up having to leave work and go and
right.
pick the kids up.
Right, and I can teach the kids the creative learning concepts. We do out of the box, out of the bag, you know,
right.
Treatments. And I oftentimes teach kids affirmations and relaxation techniques, breathing, because there's a certain way you have to breathe in order to eliminate that anxiety that often occurs mm-hmm. the first few weeks of school.
So that's good. So you're working also with helping parents and kids with school phobias.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that website is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, before we went to break, we were talking about parents who first call you to start inquiring about what your services are here, and you started to give us a list of what questions parents should ask. Do you want to pick up where you left off?
Sure. There's one in particular that sticks, excuse me, in my mind, and that is, you know, the parent who calls whose child is not performing at their fullest potential, whether it's, you know, they're an A student most of the time, but now they're performing at C level. And it could be anything from something cognitive, it could be emotional, it could be anxiety, it could be, somebody who has so much stress. And sometimes it's all self-imposed stress, wanting to be the best, wanting to have the A, wanting to get into the best college. And they put a lot of this pressure on themselves, and it could show up. It could be, you know, it could explode on them. It could, their grades could plummet. They could have anxiety, and they can have emotional aspects. And there's the other child, and it knows no age. Bullying knows no age, and it has a horrible impact on your self-esteem and your ability to communicate with other people your age. So anything can occur with that. So at Creative Learning Concepts, we nip it in the bud and we have the ability to think outside the box. Is it something cognitive? Is the child sleeping well? I found somebody in my office whose grades were suffering horribly, and I had a sleep study done, and it turned out he had narcolepsy.
Wow.
And another one had sleep apnea. And, you know, you think about sleep apnea, you think it affects just people who are heavier. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a weight problem. You could just have sleep apnea. And it masks itself as ADHD. So you got to be very careful with that one. It could be misdiagnosed very easily. But one question that parents often ask me, and I'm glad they do, is when their children should be tested. Immediately, if there's a question, test them. Insofar as younger kids go, lower elementary, when it comes to reading and literacy, they had better be reading fluently by third grade, or they need to be tested. They need to be tested before third grade because, you know, the signs rear their ugly head a lot earlier than third grade, but you have to jump on this one because literacy affects everything. And another question, and this applies to public school, not private school, FAPE. And for individuals who don't know what FAPE is, it's an acronym that stands for Free and Appropriate Public Education. It's your right as a person whose children go to public school, it's their right to receive a free and appropriate public education. If they don't get it and demand it, if you don't have a diagnosis, get one immediately. If you don't have somebody who can advocate for you, we can provide the advocates for your children to get that free and appropriate public education. And if you end up removing your child from the public school and going to a specialty school, the school district, by law, has to pay for that education that you get your child because they have failed to give your child a free and appropriate education. But it's important to remember to leave a paper trail. So that way you get whatever your child's needs are met quickly.
Yeah, and imagine a lot of parents start off in the dark and they don't know, they're grasping around for straws trying to figure out how to engineer or maneuver their way through this when they realize that there's some kind of problem. You know, where do they start? I mean, they usually notice something is wrong and then they start talking to the headmaster or the director of the school or the teacher or whatever, and then where do they go from there? So what you're saying is at Creative Learning Concepts, obviously you and your people are advocates and that you get involved, that you provide that assistance to parents
who are facing
these challenges at the school, that you actually do to help them engineer their way through the paperwork.
Right, and a lot of parents don't know. It's not because they're ignorant. They've never been in the position before, and they don't know what to ask, and they don't know what their children can receive from this school. And we educate them on that because we know the law, and we know what you can get, and we know that you can demand to get it for your children, no matter what the case is.
Now, does it happen quickly? Here's another question. I mean, you know, it's all very well and dandy to say that you know, that they're entitled, what they're entitled to. How long does this process take?
It depends on the situation. Everybody's different. It depends on how complexly involved the learning differences are, if there are some. You have to get tested. You have to have a formal diagnosis from a competent and properly licensed individual.
And you do that. You do that. You take care of the testing.
Yes,
as well.
We have, you know, psycho education specialists who test. We have psychologists who test, neuropsychologists who test for us. But it takes a while. You have to interpret the tests and write the report. First, you have to be able to get in to see the neuropsychologist. And it takes time to then ask for a meeting with the school. Mm-hmm. And that takes time. You have to work on the school schedule. And it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily incongruent with yours. Mm-hmm. So that can be time consuming. But once a formal diagnosis is arrived at and you have the IEP meeting, then things, the ball should get rolling.
And then sometimes I would imagine, too, it's complicated because not all diagnoses are equal and they're not all unilateral, that it's just one
right.
specific thing. One of the things I hear you talking about a lot is that, you know, it's multifaceted. Sometimes the diagnosis is a multifaceted.
Right.
So there might be some, you know, incongruent piece there that's affecting how the child is producing or behaving that might have been missed on, you know, compartmentalized diagnoses.
Right, exactly.
For example.
Exactly. For instance, you know, a lot of times you'll see ADHD with depression.
Right.
You'll see dyslexia with depression. You'll see a lot of the more than one dys together, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia. You might see those together. But if you're not looking for it, it often gets overlooked. And that's the sad thing. Mm-hmm. So you have to get a thorough analysis of what's going on.
Right. And I know that this is, we've mentioned this before, and you mentioned it also, that a lot of kids who are, you know, immediately diagnosed by somebody out there as having ADHD, oftentimes they're really suffering from sleep apnea or something.
Oh, else. Absolutely.
So you've got all these misdiagnoses
yes,
floating around
especially
there.
Especially with the little ones. You know, the little ones are feeling their way around the world anyway. And a lot of times you see them flitting around and they're spirited and they don't stay in one place for very long. And that could be because they're not getting enough sleep. You know, they don't know mm-hmm. what to do with themselves. They're overexhausted. And a lot of times when I get a student in the office with a possible ADHD, I always confer with a sleep specialist. Mm-hmm. And I give them, you know, I have a questionnaire for sleep apnea and other sleep disorders. And I make sure if there are more than five positives on that list, I consult the sleep disorder specialist, namely my brother.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Your brother is a sleep specialist
yes.
physician.
Yes.
Well, I mean, certainly it's complicated, and it's probably more the diagnosis can be more complicated than it initially seems. And you're handling these complex diagnoses at your clinic. Well, we're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges, as well as discussing about how parents approach and handle getting diagnoses for their children and students. So Lisa, at the last segment we were talking about what parents should be asking and how complicated are these diagnoses that you do and the testing that you do here. And by the way, another thing is, while summer is coming up, this is a good time to actually think about bringing your kids in for testing.
Absolutely. Some of the students who come here are going to start college in the fall, and we give them a boost, a jump start to college, so to speak. And as far as the testing is concerned, it could be very simple, clean cut, but most are not. I mean, I had a girl in here who had 4 days worth of testing, from stem to stern, and we found quite a bit that she needed to work on and that she was behind on. In some cases, quite a bit behind on, but that's what the testing's all about. And if you want to know, let's say, you know your son or daughter is an A student and they were not performing at the level maximum potential that you thought they would be performing at, get tested. You know, wouldn't you rather know than be questioning it from till the end of time? Mm-hmm. You know, if you could nip something in the bud before they start college, why wouldn't you want to? You know, it may not be this in-depth four-day testing that some students get, but those are the more profoundly disabled kids. And or kids with a multitude of learning differences. So if your math needs tweaking, find out where your level is. And in these during these tests, when we are we going to have to do CPR on you, Anne-Marie? we'll find out where your son or daughter is performing as compared to his or her peers. What their percentile is with students who are their age taking the same sort of test and things of that nature. So I would rather want to find out about my son or daughter rather than not. And, you know, reading, you know, you're still going to do reading and writing in college. You know, is there a learning difference in reading and literacy that would warrant you reading and listening to a CD simultaneously to help you? I mean, you can get textbooks, college level and high school level, middle school level, even elementary level that have CDs where you can listen to the CD and read the book simultaneously. So you're using two modalities at once, which makes it a heck of a lot easier. Anyway, so don't say that just because school's going to be out in 3 weeks that you don't need to test. If there's a question, come in and ask us. You know, you may not do testing, but wouldn't you want to have your questions answered?
And then there's also the transition between elementary school and middle school, for example, or just going into a new grade. I think
absolutely.
At that time, people are finding out, parents are finding out that, they're not doing so well. And as you've mentioned before, they jump too quickly to getting a tutor. And that's not
absolutely.
Necessarily the
answer. And you know what? I would rather get, but that's doing things backwards. I would rather get the question answered, and it may be as simple as getting a tutor. It may be, it may not be. So, but at Creative Learning Concepts, we answer those questions.
And you've had some, you know, pretty complicated sessions in here with people that have had
we sure have
multiple problems going on. Do you want to talk about one of your more complicated cases that was missed elsewhere?
Oh boy. Well, I had somebody who went from place to place, and he had very limited speech. I think he had all of 4 to 6 words that he knew of, and he had sensory integration dysfunction. He could not step in a puddle without having a meltdown. He had a limited palate. He had something wrong with his palate because he was born with cleft palate. And along with that, part of his sensory issues were they came out in the types of textures he had in his mouth. So he had a very limited diet. And he had a quarter of the back part of his left hemisphere missing. And that rendered him cognitively impaired. So everything we did with him, we had to do very systematically and in more than one way. Let's say I taught him how to pronounce the letter P. I had to do it tactilely, auditorily, visually, just to reinforce it. So he had a lot of repetition, and he ended up staying with me for years.
What grade was he when he first came to you?
I think he was in kindergarten or first grade.
Oh my!
And he stayed through high school, and I prepared him for college.
And he did wind up getting into college.
Yes, he did, and
fabulous.
he struggled, and he. you know, he came to me regularly. I would see him for between 8 and 12 noon every Saturday.
Well, that was probably one of your more challenging and more complicated cases.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he was probably someone whose parents had already been shopping around, right?
They shopped everywhere. And I helped him with everything, with literacy and math and reading and sensory issues. And I remember I used to expand his palette, his flavor palette. I would bribe him. I would say to him, okay, Thanksgiving is coming up. I want you to have 1 2-inch piece of turkey. And he says, what if I throw up? And I said, well, you don't get the extra, you don't get the extra Pokemon card. This is when Pokemon was really popular. Mm-hmm. And I said, you have to swallow it. And each holiday, I'd add something else to his palate. And he now likes turkey, and he now likes pasta, and he eats pizza. He eats all kinds of things. And I got him to have confidence in himself, which was the most difficult thing. He used to beat himself up physically and emotionally when he thought he was not going to perform.
Mm-hmm. And it's terrible for parents.
It is. And kids like that, they need, excuse me, they need lots of positive reinforcement.
And obviously that was one of your more complicated and long-lasting cases, but you've certainly got a lot of other people that are coming in here.
Oh, yeah.
Short-term.
Of course.
And
you know,
easily rectifiable, I'm sure.
Yes, but, you know, progress is progress no matter what. The ones who don't have profound issues, you know, a couple months, maybe 3 months, they're done. And they're off, and I love to see progress in kids who don't have these profound issues. And the ones who have profound issues, oftentimes the progress is slow as molasses, but it's progress.
Right. Well, obviously, you've got cases on the far end of the autism spectrum and Asperger's.
Right.
And
I'm grateful when I see progress, no matter how slow it is.
And that's one of the things that I think when parents finally get to you, they're very thankful and happy that they've come to a place where, you know, you're looking at all the aspects and all the different angles, right?
Right. And it's a positive place. And we stress positive reinforcement, positive self-image, and progress, no matter what it takes.
Well, yeah. And obviously, you don't get anywhere if you don't have that self-esteem to begin with. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER. Or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students facing academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, one of the things I wanted to touch base with you on tonight is trends, fads. There's a lot being said now about kids that are going to school with these spinners, and I've heard teachers are confiscating them and taking them away. And this kind of sort of reminds me of the Pokemon Go trend, even
it's
though it's
gone.
Not the same. It's gone.
Thank God.
But, you know, first of all, what do you attribute this to? And why would all these kids suddenly just want to sit and aimlessly spin these things and teachers are taking them away? And what's your take on this?
It's hyper-focusing. But you're hyper-focusing on the spinner. Does that mean you're not focusing on the teacher? And I know a lot of, I know several high school kids have them and they spin them under the table. Mm-hmm. And then when they're done and they feel like they're focused, one of my students has them, I would have told him not to get it. Mm-hmm. And because I just think it's too much of a distraction and it's too large. If mm-hmm. you're going to do anything, do something that you can squeeze that's mm-hmm. small enough. I'm holding a little porcupine ball and mm-hmm. I've got teeny hands. When I right. close my hands, you can't even see it. I'd rather they squeeze something under the table. None of the other students are going to see it. And the younger you are, you know what happens when, you know, your classmates see you with something under the table. They're either going to make fun of you or they're going to want one, you know. And what I would rather do, and at Creative Learning Concepts, it's not that we're not going to condone something like the spinner. If it's more of a distraction and it's irritating your teacher, there's something wrong with it.
Well,
there's
what do you think the point of it is? I mean, what
it's
how
supposed
did that get started?
To, when kids have anxiety, it helps them in a natural way to relax.
Burn off the tension or what?
Yeah, to relax. But mm-hmm. I would rather, I think it's more, it's kind of counterproductive too, because it might be relaxing the student, but it's irritating the teacher. Uh-huh. And you don't want to irritate your teacher. But mm-hmm. at Creative Learning Concepts, we teach kids how to regulate their breathing, how right. to focus on imagery, how to do more naturally occurring things rather than an object. I mean, the little prickly ball is one of them, but it's something that's so small, nobody could see it. Nobody could tell you're squeezing it. Or, you know, the most natural thing is if you're sitting at your table or your desk in class and you're focusing on your breathing, you close your eyes for 2 seconds. It's mm-hmm. not going to distract anybody. Mm-hmm. And your classmates who notice that you're closing your eyes to get a deep breath and to regulate your anxiety, they're going to think that you just closed your eyes for, you know, an extra second or two. They're mm-hmm. not going to think anything of it. And it's not distracting to anybody. Mm-hmm. And it's productive. Mm-hmm. So what would you do? Would you want the spinner or would you want relaxation techniques?
Well, it seems to me that I saw something about it on one of the news shows. And then today, one of the private school teachers I know posted on Facebook that he'd already confiscated half a dozen of them and then
right.
found one that was lit up, that was actually, you know, luminescent or something. And I'm just wondering what, obviously teachers seem to be against it for one reason or another, but I'm wondering what the point of it is amongst the kids that are taking it into class. And, you know, what are they getting out of it by sitting and spinning this object?
It's a distraction for them. You know, mm-hmm. if they get anxious, they have something to move around in their hands. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do that, it should be small so nobody sees that. Because mm-hmm. then it's a distraction to everybody. Oh, your classmate sees it. What is that? That's cool. I want to see it. Can I have it for a second? You know, next thing you know, everybody's passing it around and the teacher's wondering what's going on. It's a
right.
it's a negative distraction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get my student to stop using
so
it yet.
It's another trend that'll probably pass.
Right.
Well, once again, we've talked tonight about many things, but just to remind some of the listeners that it is summer's coming up and that you are available for consultation and for telephone consultation. And what else do you want the listeners to know about testing?
You know what? It could be as simple as an informal test, or if you're really concerned, it could be, you know, a test that takes a few days. That's a myriad of tests. It could be 5 different tests that paints a more complete picture that you may need. But we're available at Creative Learning Concepts 12 months out of the year.
And once again, you're encouraging people over the summer to, you've got programs.
Yes, please.
You're open for business and for seeing students that may.
Yes, please. Just because there are only 3 weeks left, you really have to consider what you're going to do over the summer.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we're out of time tonight, and that does it again for another Creative Learning Concepts radio show, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC, on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Lisa Popper, Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute. For more information, you can contact Lisa Popper and the Popper Institute by calling 844-4-POPPER. That's 844-4-POPPER, or online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that's creativelearningconceptsmi.com. We're closing tonight's show with the ABC Rap, conceived and co-written by Lisa Popper and performed by Detroit rapper Low Fat and violinist Siobhan Cronin. Please do what you can to keep your children engaged, excited, motivated, and in love with learning for them and for us all. Good night, and as always, enjoy the music.
Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Just pull your weight up, down, down, you will go. Education is the key to the world, yo. Just find your way to good things, and you can see all the joy education brings. A, always stay in school, it's the coolest thing. B, be the best you can be if you just believe. C, concentration would always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. E, education will make a better you. F means you find your way if you stay in school. G is for good grade equals hard work. The guys who ain't in school is the real jerks. H, be a hero and do what you gotta do. How you gon' make it if you don't stay in school? I, independence will always shine through. J, just stay focused to make a better you. K, keep it pushing and never stop. L, mean a better listener will always learn a lot. M, stay motivated and never lazy. Even when life get hectic, it's all gravy. N, never say never, never lose hope. I don't care if your back is up against the ropes. O, overcome life diversities. P is for the people who believe. If you believe it in your heart, then you should achieve. Q means ask questions, don't be ashamed. Your voice counts too, now let them know your name. R is for keep it real at all times. We all know education build a strong mind. S is for success, now let's get it. T is for the truth, for the young youth. U is for all race to unite. V is for the victory, it is the sight. W is where there's a will, that's a way. X mark the spot why you can't zest through the day. Yeah, through the day. Yeah, through the day. Yeah, always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through.